Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we want to take just a moment to invite you to our church website to find out more information about the church if you're interested. Of course, we are always open for visitors, and we'd like for you to come. If you are in the area and you do not have a church home, or you're passing through visiting, a lot of times throughout the year we will have visitors from out of town that maybe they've heard the radio broadcast or on one of the other radio stations, and so they'll come and be with us on a Sunday there in town. So we would love for you to come out. Our church website is mountlebanonbc.org, and you can find out service times and phone numbers and information there. We'd love for you to come and visit with us. I want to say hello to Noah. He's in the studio today. And Noah, are you having a good day so far?
I am. It's good to be here. And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners. We do appreciate our listeners here and on Blessings of Liberty. And we want to say thank you to those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Thank you to those listening on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And also those listeners on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and it is good to be here one more time. We have been, over the past several months, occupying our time with a subject that we have entitled Heroes of Liberty, and we've been looking at different individuals and their contribution towards liberty. We've used a lot of different examples. Actually, I was looking back at some of the ones that we've looked at. We've been all across the board. A lot of different people. I think we started in August. Sometime in August, we looked at Moses. We looked at Jesus Christ. Of course, the Bible says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And when the Lord Jesus Christ came, it was in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. And part of that was to proclaim liberty to the captives. And so we looked at Christ. We looked at one of the early church fathers, Tertullian. We looked at some of our American founders and fathers, Patrick Henry, James Madison. We looked at John Adams and George Washington. We looked at a famous Indian chief called Tecumseh. We looked at the Apostle Paul, once again from the Bible. We took a Veterans Day and looked at several veterans and just tried to mention some highlights of their career. We looked at Douglas MacArthur. We looked at Billy Sunday, famous evangelist. We looked last week at Rosa Parks, or not last week, the week before. We looked at Corrie Ten Boom. We've looked at a lot of different people. That's just to name a few. That's not everybody. Some people may have heard of, some maybe not. Today, and I want to say we're probably going to wind this up today, at least for a while. And we might pick it back up later on, but I've been thinking about some other things I wanted to get into. But today we're going to look at least one more, and we're going to look at the Apostle Peter, and especially what he says concerning the subject of liberty of conscience. Now, if you are a student of history, you've come across that phrase, liberty of conscience. Liberty of conscience is actually a Bible doctrine. We get the teaching of that from the Bible. The phrase was so commonly used in early American history that it would have been impossible, I believe, to have lived in America in the mid or early to mid 1700s and not know at least something about liberty of conscience. It was in the news. It was in the Everyday talk on the street. People talked about it in church. People talked about it in politics, what was going on. Liberty of conscience, once upon a time, would have easily been upon the tongue of your average American citizen. Now, if we are unfamiliar with liberty of conscience today, it is because, as one writer put it, we have been born and raised and nourished under the pleasant shade of liberty. In early America, much of the fight was for liberty and involved liberty of conscience. And so we have the Bill of Rights. We talked about that, which ensures one of the articles or one of the 10 original Bill of Rights ensures freedom of religion, which involves liberty of conscience. But I want to share something with you. I found a book, and I do not have the book. I'd love to have it. I don't even know if it's in print or available, but there's an old book. It was written somewhere 1614, 1661, and it is named Tracts on Liberty of Conscience and Persecution. And it was written concerning those who went before and paid the price. The introduction to that book, and you can find it actually on, I believe it's Oxford's website, an archive, this old book. And the introduction was written by a gentleman named Edward Bean Underhill. He wrote from Oxford, April 13th, 1846. He wrote the introduction to the book, Tracts on Liberty of Conscience. And he said this: happier times have succeeded, and it is permitted us to reap the fruits of the humble but noble and self-denying labors of these pioneers of the soul's freedom. They fell martyrs for conscience' sake. It were ingratitude to withhold a kernel of deserved commendation wreathed from the bright leaves and blossoms of the tree they planted in sorrow and watered with their own blood, but under whose shadow it is our happiness to live. And I thought that's a great introduction, talking about liberty of conscience or individual soul liberty, sometime it is called. We have come to live under the pleasant shade of liberty. It is a accepted thing that we have liberty, that we have religious freedom, that we have any kind of freedom. We are very used to that in America today, but it has not always been that way. I wanted to read also an example from a book I have. It's written by Dr. James Beller, and he has passed away. He went to be with the Lord about a year ago. But there's a great book, America in Crimson Red. You would have to get it off the internet, or maybe VBC Ministries, Victory Bible Institute, probably has some as well. But we used it as a church history. And he talks about a great deal. Well, America in Crimson Red, it is actually a church history book that deals with America. But anyway, I wanted to read an example out of that book from the life of Patrick Henry, and talking about liberty of conscience, what it is. That's what we want to look at today and think about. What does that phrase mean, liberty of conscience? Well, let me read from the book. It says, about the year 1770, when three Baptist ministers were to be tried at Fredericksburg, Virginia, Patrick Henry, the great orator, rode some 60 miles to attend the trial, and unexpectedly entered the courtroom as the indictment was being read. He listened as they were accused of preaching the gospel of the Son of God contrary to Virginia law. When the indictment had been read, and the prosecuting attorney opened the case, Patrick Henry, having glanced over the indictment, arose and addressed the court. He said, "May it please your worships, I think I heard read by the prosecutor, as I entered this house, the paper I hold in my hand. If I've rightly understood, the king's attorney of this colony has framed an indictment for the purpose of arraigning and punishing by imprisonment 3 inoffensive men before the bar of this court for a crime of great magnitude as disturbers of the peace. May it please the court, what did I hear read? Did I hear it distinctly, or was it a mistake of my own? Did I hear an expression as if a crime that these men are charged with? What? For preaching the gospel of the Son of God. Swinging the indictment 3 times around his head, he exclaimed, "Great God, may it please your worships, in a day like this, when truth is about to burst its fetters, when mankind are about to be abused or aroused to claim their natural and inalienable rights, when the yoke of oppression that has reached the wilderness of America and the unnatural alliance of ecclesiastical and civil power are about to be dissolved, at such a period when liberty of conscience is about to awake from her slumberings and inquire into the reason of such charges as I find exhibited here today in this indictment. If I am not deceived, according to the contents of this paper I now hold in my hand, these men are accused of preaching the gospel of the Son of God. Great God!" And with similar words, thrice repeated, he inquired, "What law have they violated?" The judge could endure it no longer and bade the sheriff dismiss those men. And so we have an example there from our American history about liberty of conscience. And Patrick Henry, he goes to Fredericksburg, Virginia. He defends 3 Baptist ministers. And those Baptist preachers were in trouble with the law because it boiled down to that they were preaching without a license. The state church, the official state church of Virginia, had certain laws that they had passed. And if somebody was going to be a preacher, they had to go to the state church in order to get permission. And they had to purchase a license to preach the gospel. Now, for these Baptist preachers, and not just the Baptists, there were others as well, a few others at that time, who did not agree with this. They did not agree that they should have to go to what was in their eyes an apostate organization or institution and pay to get a license to preach the gospel. That was a violation of their liberty of conscience. In other words, they could not in good conscience do that. God had called them to preach the gospel of the Son of God, and they felt like that was license enough, and that it would be denying the authority and power of God for them to go to an earthly institution in order to be licensed to do a heavenly work. And so many, many other people were arrested, persecuted, their land confiscated. We've talked about this in great detail in the past here on Blessings of Liberty. But they paid a price so that we could have freedom of religion. And when we think about freedom of religion, what a lot of people do not realize is people today might say, "Well, I don't want to go to church." You know, the way has been made so if somebody does not want to go to church, they don't have to. But in colonial days in America, it was a law that if you lived in a certain community, you had to go to church. So you may not go to church, but you still ought to appreciate religious freedom. You have freedom not to believe, not to go, not to be involved, if you don't want to be. And if you were made to go to church, it would be the same thing. It would be a violation of your liberty of conscience. So that liberty of conscience can be applied across a lot of ways. The same principle would apply today in our modern day. If you had a healthcare worker, and this has went through the courts as well in America, if you had a healthcare worker that was somehow being forced to be involved in an abortion, and say the healthcare worker was a believer, or maybe they're a Jew, or maybe they're even a Muslim, and they say, I don't believe in abortion. Well, to be made to do that or lose your job is a violation of a person's liberty of conscience. It is a violation of a person's religious convictions to make them do something that they see in the Word of God that God has strictly forbidden and is against. Today, I'm saying today in the courts in North Carolina, not today, this very day, but right now going on in North Carolina, there is legislation that is being put forth that the magistrates in our state would have a protection, those who do not believe in homosexual marriage, and that it would be a violation of their religious beliefs to be able to be made to perform a marriage ceremony for a homosexual couple. And when our laws changed in North Carolina, many resigned. Some of them quit their jobs. Some of them, even today, are, you know, they don't believe in that. But what are they supposed to do? It is a violation of a person's liberty of conscience to make them do something that is against their religious convictions. Liberty of conscience is at stake anytime a civil law, a rule, a regulation, a policy contradicts a biblical command. Now, we need to talk about the Apostle Peter just a little bit. In Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5 in the Bible, the Apostle Peter has been arrested for preaching the gospel of the Son of God. He's been locked up. He's been questioned. If he was living in our day and time, we would say he's been fingerprinted and they've put his picture on the internet. You know, he's in serious trouble with the law. He's been threatened. All of these things he's gone through. Now, you come to Acts chapter number 5, the authorities, they want to release him on the condition that he promises not to preach anymore. Now, we're going to let you go. That's what they're saying. But you got to stop this preaching and teaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His answer sums up what liberty of conscience is all about. Acts chapter 5, verse number 29 says this, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" We ought to obey God rather than men. That is what liberty of conscience boils down to when it comes down to the choice. Who are you going to obey? Are you going to obey God or are you going to obey man? Peter said we ought to obey God rather than men. This was the favorite verse of the Waldensians of Europe. And they, as a people group, they were persecuted, they were arrested, they were exiled, they were outlawed, they were burned at the stake for preaching the gospel. Their trials went on for centuries. And maybe you've heard of the Waldensians and fleeing to the Alps in order to get away from religious persecution. And their verse that they adopted for their methods were Acts chapter 5, verse 29. We ought to obey God rather than men. When man said stop, God said go. Mark 16:15, the Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And they went, and all along they quoted Peter as their justification for continuing on, even though it cost them a great price in order to do that. They would say, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Now, if obeying man's law causes me to break God's law, then man's law is unjust. It is an unjust law and should be disobeyed. And according to the scripture, must be disobeyed, can be disobeyed. I can, with a clear conscience, vote in favor of following the Lord as opposed to following an unjust law. An example of that from the Bible would be out of Daniel chapter number 3. Most people that know anything about the Bible are familiar with the story in Daniel chapter number 3 about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I've preached on this before. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture to preach from. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he made a golden image. He passed a law. He said, all the nations, doesn't matter what your religious belief or background or where you're from or who you are, he said, we're all going to worship the same God. We're all going to bow down to the same music. And boy, if I can do that, Nebuchadnezzar thought in his heart, I will rule the world. And you know, rulers today are still trying to do the same thing. If we can just get everybody dancing to the same tune, worshiping the same God, bowing down to what the king says, then that person can rule the world. Well, there was some Jews there, and their names that the king had given unto them were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they played the music, and everybody was supposed to bow down, and these three, they did not bow down. And word got back to the king, said, hey, there's some fellas over here. They didn't bow down. And boy, it made the king mad. And he said, I'm going to give you another chance. We're going to play the music, and you're going to bow down. And they refused to bow down. Well, what was the big deal? The big deal is that they knew what God in his law had said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor worship them. They knew this, and they obeyed God rather than men. Now, they were thrown into the fiery furnace, but the Lord was with them and delivered them. Now, God can do that. He doesn't always do that. Sometimes people suffer greatly for their stand to do right when they are commanded by the authorities to do wrong. The Apostle Peter deals with this subject in great detail. Now, I do not have time to go all through these verses, but if you're interested, 1 Peter chapter 2, really verses 9 through verse number 20, deals with this subject of liberty of conscience and obeying the law. And it even talks about honoring the king and all of these things in this passage of Scripture. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 20, I'll just read a couple of verses. Verse 16 says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Peter recognized that we have liberty. We have choice. We have free will. We can do one thing or we can do another thing. And what Peter is teaching here in 1 Peter chapter number 2 is that anywhere I go as a believer, a believer in Christ, I am there as the servants of God, and I'm not to use my liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. I'm not to say as a believer, oh, well, I'm a believer. I'll go along with it. I don't have a choice. The Bible says you do have a choice. I'm not to use my liberty as a cloak of maliciousness and just go along to get along. That is what the Bible is teaching in verse number 16. On the contrary, Christian liberty gives me the liberty to do right, even if the state says it's wrong. The Bible gives me the right to obey God rather than men. That is liberty of conscience. I can follow God. I can follow my religious convictions. And I don't have to worry that God is going to charge that as a sin to my account when I have to make a choice between one or the other. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have sinned if they would have obeyed Nebuchadnezzar and bowed down to that false image. But they pleased God in that they disobeyed Nebuchadnezzar. Sometimes it's going to be one or the other. Now, historically, in America, before the Bill of Rights, each colony, just about each colony, had a state church. And that state church said no preaching without a license, no church without being this kind of a church. But there were many in America that said that's not right. God has sent us out, and we're to go, and we shouldn't have to go to a worldly authority and pay to have that privilege. So thank the Lord, there has been many down through the years that have said we ought to obey God rather than men. Let me read another verse out of this passage of Scripture. Verse 19 says, "For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." If a Christian refuses something based on conscience toward God, he may very well suffer. In fact, millions down through the centuries have suffered. Many have been burned at the stake. Many have been put in prison, had their land confiscated, had to flee their homeland just so they could have a good conscience toward God. Many have been threatened, even killed. Today, you might get fired. You might be sued. You might find yourself in a lawsuit. You might find yourself in trouble with the law. But God in His Word says this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. You may suffer as a believer for following God. In God's estimation, that is suffering wrongfully. We did a radio broadcast about Corrie ten Boom. And Corrie ten Boom, of course, if you listened that week, you know anything about her life, they broke the Nazi law by hiding and harboring the Jewish people. They were trying to keep them out of the concentration camps. They were trying to keep them from being arrested. They were trying to keep them from being put to death. They broke the Nazi law of the land. But God said, this is thankworthy. This is commendable. This is to be praised. I'm thankful today as we begin to close. I'm thankful for the example in the Bible. I'm thankful for Moses. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. I'm thankful for the Apostle Paul. I'm thankful for the Apostle Peter and these believers that have left us such great, great examples. I'm also thankful that God has made it plain in His Word that we never have to disobey God in order to obey man. The Lord does not put us in that predicament. It is always right to obey God first. Liberty of conscience is about putting God first, obeying God first, no matter what happens. Like Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. A clear conscience before God is a very valuable thing. I'll leave you with this verse, Acts 24:16. Paul said, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Notice he put the Lord first. Well, we appreciate you listening. Noah's going to come and give the contact information. Have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.